Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in one of the latest twists and turns in the debate over Mayor Bloomberg's soda ban, that supersized soda ban, the NAACP and the Hispanic Federation have weighed in against the ban, arguing that it was pushed through without enough public input, that minority-owned delis and corner stores will be at a disadvantage compared to grocery chains. The reaction has been swift, many pointing out that it's minorities who suffer the most from obesity caused by cheap available sugar. And turns out there are questions about the NAACP's financial ties to the soda industry. WNYC's health policy reporter Fred Mogul is here. He's been tracking the story. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Brian.
And we're also joined by Kelly Goff, political correspondent for The Root, the politics and culture website focused on the African-American community primarily. Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
And before we get to the NAACP angle, Fred, clear something up. The soda ban, is it still being debated as a matter of policy? I thought it was a done deal passed by the New York City Board of Health.
Well, you, in a sense, answered yourself because it was passed by the Board of Health. Opponents say that's no way to pass it. This should be a law, should go through the city council. That's the most democratic way. Oh, just by the way, there happen to be city council members who are very much on the record opposed to it, some for these minority-related reasons we'll get into in greater detail. So that's their case. They've been waiting for their day in court since it passed formally last year, and this week they got it.
Kelly, how do you understand the case that the NAACP is making?
Making the case that this is unfairly targeting small minority entrepreneurs who tend to be small business entrepreneurs, right? Minorities don't own places like Walmart and Kmart, et cetera, and some of the big grocery chains like Gristiti's. So their argument is that this ban, because it basically has a loophole that sort of exempts some of the larger retailers, is really not fair. For instance, 7-Eleven won't be affected, but a bodega will be. And that's their argument. Now, is that, you know, do you want me to continue? Because I think
yeah.
It's kind of a silly argument, but okay.
Go ahead.
Because to me, the flaw in that argument is that's sort of like saying the prison system discriminates disproportionately against African American men, which it does. So let's get rid of the prison system. That to me is not an appropriate response. The response is how do we reform the system in place? And when you have one of the leading causes of, actually the second leading cause of death for African Americans being things that are tied to obesity, whether they're diabetes or heart disease, then an appropriate response for one of the leading civil rights organizations that's supposed to help benefit the African American community is not what can we do less of to help address this crisis. It should be more what can we do more of. And as you know, I'm sure you and others know, but your audience may not, you know, the other thing that makes this situation, for lack of a better term, stink to high heaven is that one of the biggest donors to the health campaigns of the NAACP is the American Beverage Association. Now, I think that, you know, Stevie Wonder could connect those dots, if with all due respect, Brian, in terms of them saying that this is really about an issue, it's not about who's supporting them financially, it doesn't look good. And I think to any reasonable person, perhaps if the American Beverage Association was not one of their big donors, perhaps we could buy this argument. But the fact that they are really makes the situation stink to high heaven.
I read today, for example, that in both 2011 and 2012, the Coca-Cola Foundation, specifically, even beyond the General Beverage Association, but the Coca-Cola Foundation awarded the NAACP $100,000 for its Project HELP, which ironically is healthy eating, lifestyle change, and physical activity. I want to open up the phones specifically for Black or Latino listeners on this one, since this is the position of the NAACP and the Hispanic Federation that we're talking about. Draw a wedge, create a wedge between you and the NAACP if you're an African-American listener? Or what do you think about this? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you think maybe the minority-owned bodegas have the stronger case here to win the protection of the NAACP and the Hispanic Federation? And, Fred, maybe you can clarify why a bodega is covered under the mayor's soda, a supersized soda ban, but Walmart isn't, 7-Eleven isn't.
There's some really interesting things going on there because there's a lot of very intentional muddying of the waters because the bodega is such an iconic New York City thing, especially.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for that First of all, bodegas actually, by and large, are in the same category as Walmart. See, stores that don't serve food are not regulated by the city. They're regulated by the state. This is a city rule. The opponents say should be a city law, again, but it's a city rule. If the city could regulate markets, whether they're big or small, then maybe they would have taken a crack at that, but they don't. So that's kind of the loophole. State regulates markets. City regulates places that serve food. Bodegas, now I don't know about your corner bodega. Mine might serve a few sandwiches. Many of them serve, many of them serve a lot. But if they have to get the most of the majority, 51% of their revenue has to come from being food servers before the city regulates them. At that point, they would fall under the soda restriction.
Let's take actually, I guess we're not quite ready to take a call yet.
Can I say something really quick?
Kelly, yes.
I just wanted to clarify, because you were correct. The American Beverage Association is part of the lawsuit, but you were correct that the Coca-Cola Beverage Foundation is the one who's made the most foundations to the NAACP. So I just wanted to clarify myself on the air.
And we spent a lot of time during the election season talking about the influence of the Koch brothers. Haha, I guess we need to focus just on Coke. Fred, if you look at that list of donations, I mentioned Coke. Coke and PepsiCo were sponsors of the 2011 NAACP New York State Conference, the 75th annual convention. Pepsi was recognized with an NAACP award in 2010. If you look at that list of donations, they're not giving money to the NAACP for a new building or for a golfing retreat. The fact that these were specifically for health education initiatives.
Well, that's part of their broader strategy for years, whether it's the NAACP or anything else. The beverage industry as a whole, the individual manufacturers, one by one, have been giving to lots of nutritional causes. I was at an event, 5 years ago at least, with Bill Clinton and the schools and trying to show what a great effort they were doing to make nutrition better in school. So they've had a pretty broad front to their credit or discredit, in terms of their PR focus. So this is just part of that.
Roberto in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, thank you very much. Love your show. You know what? The bodega owners in New York City, the soft drink make up 15 to 20% of their profits. Now, in order to equalize, make it a level playing field, do not give exemptions to Walmart or to 7-Eleven. Make it an equal playing field. The analogy that one of your guests presented about the prison system is totally bogus. Now, as far as Coca-Cola Company, they have recently announced that they're taking steps to cut down the caloric content of their drinks, which I think it should eliminate high fructose corn syrup, which is the main culprit. There was no obesity problem with children when the natural cane sugar was used in soft drinks, only when because high fructose cannot be processed by the liver and metabolized by the liver correctly, so it leads to high obesity. If Coca-Cola could eliminate high fructose corn syrup, that would solve a lot of the problems.
I wonder. I mean, we had a doctor on the show last week saying basically sugar is sugar. And that fructose is fructose and sucrose is as bad as fructose, and that's not necessarily the problem. Still, the size would be a big, big problem, no matter which of the sweeteners that's a natural sweetener is used. But there's a debate. Marcos in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marcos.
Hi. In thinking about this debate, at first I was really on the side of limiting the soft drink side. I think it's probably good for public health. But I think about one of my friends in my building in the Bronx, who's lived here the longest, really is really mad at the mayor about this ban. And she has early onset diabetes, but it was this... she's not very mobile. She takes care of her developmentally disabled daughter. But one time a day where she sort of feels free was where she would ask somebody to go get her a soda from the corner store, you know? And I feel compassion for her on both sides of the issue.
She could get 2 12-ounce cans, right?
But but the mayor's not outlawing soda, right? So... I mean, she'll get a smaller soda.
Right, and actually the bodegas could benefit, frankly, because the bodegas that are under that cap, and they're therefore just stores, and they're therefore unregulated, they can sell all the 2-liter bottles of Coke they want. They can sell all the 28-ounce bottles of Arizona iced tea that they want. You know, they are, and right. many of them are minorities, and many of them could benefit.
It's really the fountain drinks that are served in meal-serving restaurants, which
right.
sometimes
whether it's Starbucks or McDonald's or your local pizzeria.
Sometimes includes the bodegas. Kelly, do you think there's a bigger lesson here about the balancing act that
yes.
cause-oriented nonprofits
I
are always making?
I love that you asked this question. I love that you, because this is actually exactly where I was going to go with my sentiments.
Go
I
ahead.
Am someone who, like a lot of New Yorkers, has my issues with certain facets of Emperor Bloomberg's rule, right? But that being said, even his worst critics cannot deny that the smoking ban worked, because how much your medical reporter can actually get the figures more accurate than I can. But in terms of the number of New Yorkers who have quit smoking since the smoking ban took effect. So for all of the criticisms, reasons we don't like it, good reasons sometimes we have to be upset with these things, to all of the people who are trying to sell this argument that it's not even going to make a difference to the obesity epidemic, that's simply false. Now, if you want to make a civil rights or a civil libertarian argument about it, that's one thing. But this trying to convince people, as the NAACP is with one of their talking points, that it doesn't even make a it's not even going to make a real difference, it's completely bogus and, frankly, I think intellectually insulting.
Lewis in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. I tend to agree with the lady on this side of the argument. As an African-American learning more and more about health issues, I think what people should be doing, or NAACP should be doing with the money they get from Coke, is educating. We don't educate our people
yep.
enough about what they're eating, whether it be at a McDonald's or a Burger King or any other fast food joint. It's the quantity that we take in. And what I'm hearing is from both sides is about who's being taxed, who's not being taxed, or how much money is being lost, how much profits are not being lost or gained. The fact of the matter is, in all these minority communities, whether it be Latino or African-American, which I'm a part of, we really are not educated enough. And I really think the NAACP should really maybe restructure their argument and not say it's about economics, because that's really a poor way to frame an argument.
And Lewis, I'm going to leave it there. But on that note, as we run out of time, and forgive me for cutting you off, but Fred, the NAACP in its brief urged the city to create a more holistic program to attack the problem, just like Lewis is saying, including an increase in financing for phys ed programs and things like that. Maybe they have a point that the city isn't doing enough to tackle minority obesity in other ways.
Well, the city's defense is simply that it's not either or. They actually have quite a holistic program. They've got a vast array of things through the health department, through the schools department. They've got all kinds of programs. And they say that, frankly, this is a small part, and maybe not even the most significant. They don't claim it's a silver bullet for reversing obesity. They just say it's one part.
Well, there you go. Some of the conversation around the NAACP and the Hispanic Federation coming out against Mayor Bloomberg's supersized soda ban. We thank WNYC's health policy reporter Fred Mogul and Kelly Goff, political correspondent for The Root. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.